welcome back to Girl Meets Show, the relationships podcast for people in a relationship with TV. I'm Jordan.
I'm Taylor. We are going to talk about The Bear season 2 on Hulu. And I can't wait. But first we have a lot of news, actually, which it's been like pretty dead in the news section for a little while. So it's kind of fun. I'm going to start us off because I just want to get this out of the way. I've been getting lots of questions if I'm okay. And I need to let everybody know that, yes, I am okay. But Jon Hamm did get married.
My condolences.
Thank you very much. I'm allowing this to slip into our TV news section because did you see where he got married?
Right on that yoga spot.
Got married on that little Coca-Cola yoga spot. And that is amazing to me.
I love that. Well, and that's like where her scene was too. Mm-hmm. Like,
it's so special.
It's great. It almost really feels like Don Draper's happy ending, kind of. Mm-hmm. Like the character, not just Jon Hamm.
Truly.
So, yeah, I very much approve. I like when actors and famous people are like sentimental about their work too. That feels really special.
That's basically exactly what I was gonna say, is that like I think in my head I'm like, oh, Jon Hamm probably hates talking about Mad Men now and like kind of like wants to like remove himself from that era and like wants us to pretend to forget it. Like I kind of look at me bringing up Taylor Swift singing Dear John this weekend, but like I think about that with her too. Like I've always like, if she re-records Speak Now, like what if she just left Dear John out of it, because like just kind of wants to be removed from that.
Mm-hmm. And then it's like one of her most gossiped about songs ever. Yeah, and stuff. Yeah,
but like no, she still will sing it and knows it's good. So
wow, just the beginning of so many Taylor Swift mentions in this episode.
So true.
Well, that was a cute, sad but cute piece of news. And now I have two news items that are really cringy.
Okay, great.
That I am excited to bring up. The first one, I feel like this is kind of breaking news. I saw that it was tweeted 6 hours ago. It turns out that The Idol was apparently formerly 6 episodes long, is now ending on episode 5, which is this weekend.
What?
Isn't that bizarre? And I'm seeing people post screenshots of when it said it was supposed to be 6 episodes ending on July 9th. I checked IMDb and TV Time, and it does say 5 episodes long ending July 2nd. But so a lot of people are like, did the critics just not know how many total episodes there would be? But people are saying, no, they said this was a 6-episode show. And other people are guessing that they took out, because of all the backlash, they took out some, like, gratuitous sex scenes. And it made it that much shorter or something. But it's just, like, this show is truly cursed. I haven't watched it yet. I probably will watch it. I do kind of want to see if it's a train wreck or whatever. But yeah. I haven't watched it yet. But what in the world? That is, it's just, and The Weeknd himself is being so cringy. Like, the whole thing is just making me so cringe at it. If that is a sentence.
I honestly haven't even really been able to read about it because I feel too much cringe. But yeah, I think I have to watch it. I think we owe it to ourselves. Yeah. And I will say I have heard one of the like songs from it, and the song was good.
Well, I know Lorde loves it because I had no idea what she was singing until I find someone on Twitter was like, Lorde singing the song from The Idol on her Instagram story.
Oh my gosh, I never saw that.
Oh, I should have sent it to you because I was like, oh, I guess everyone knew what she was singing except me. But that clearly, so I bet a lot funny. Of people had no idea what she was singing. So
that's hilarious. Did you know anything about this Hulu movie called Wildflower?
Who's in that? I feel like I've seen promo literally for this.
So many people. And when I
it's Kieran and Shipka, the Kieran and Shipka movie.
Yes, I and did Alexandra see Daddario and Reed Scott. And I was just like, I'm confused. Also, Jean Smart. Like, I was just, it was like, this movie's out now. And I was like, I've literally never heard of it. And it has so many famous people in it.
Oh my gosh. I've seen a poster for that somewhere.
Yeah.
It's really odd when, like, the only thing I've seen is a poster and, like, no reviews or interviews or anything. It's very weird.
Or promo. It was just like, this movie was dropped. I just thought it was funny.
It is very funny. And I feel like we're both very chronically online and specifically follow all the accounts that do post all that promo stuff. So if we don't see it, like, truly, where is it?
Mm-hmm. It's nowhere.
Part two of my cringe news is they dropped a teaser for Zoe 102. The Zoe 101 movie on, I believe, Paramount Plus. And it was sad. Jamie Lynn Spears does not have it anymore. Like, it was kind of just like, but they picked like a normie off the street and were like, read the script. It was really a bummer. And it's just, I definitely watched Zoe 101 as a kid. And so I was like, oh, I kind of recognize some of these people, but I was like, is there like that much nostalgia for Zoe 101 at all? And now Jamie Lynn has like burned any goodwill bridge she still had, you know, like it's just very cursed energy. And it looks very bad, and it was very hard to watch, but I watched the whole teaser.
You know, I did too. And yeah,
that's the teaser we watched.
That's hilarious. That's and sad. So weird. Because I was a big Zoe 101 girl, and I was like, I don't recognize any of these people. The only person I recognized was Owen Thiel, who I don't even think was in the original, but is from like Hacks and Dollface, and is in I Think You Should Leave, and is friends with like Cassie David and stuff.
I wonder how they got him to be in this.
Yeah, when I saw him, I was like, oh, I'm kind of sad that he was there.
Don't you think that Jamie Lynn just was like so terrible in it?
Yeah, she was not good.
Ugh.
I saw pictures of Ryan Reynolds and Blake Lively visiting the set of The Great British Bake Off. And I hope that means that they're going to be like on it, the show.
That would be amazing. If not,
that is rude. And that is one piece of news for you. My news I like it. Are turning into random things I want to talk to Jordan about.
Well, I love it.
Thank you.
That is interesting because it's like, yeah, they could be guests, or are they on like one of the celebrity seasons or something?
Yeah, that I don't know. Cute. There's just like a picture with them with like the judges.
I love that. And I like that this probably confirms that they like to sit around and watch Great British Bake Off.
Makes sense. Who doesn't?
Exactly. I saw they're doing a second season of Nine Perfect Strangers, which I never watched. Did you ever watch that first season?
Never did. Is that the one on Hulu?
Yeah. And it was kind of like, well, it's funny because I feel like everyone always was like, oh, it's kind of like the not as like the Kirkland brand White Lotus.
Mm-hmm.
And the second season is going to be Nicole Kidman again with new supporting cast, including Murray Bartlett from White Lotus. So that's kind of
weird.
The tweet I saved is that Murray Bartlett and Dolly De Leon from Triangle of Sadness are going to be in the new season.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah. I mean, season one had a really good cast too, and I didn't watch that, but I don't know. Maybe I'm removed enough from White Lotus and second season was different from the first season that maybe I would try it, but I never really heard that intriguing of good reviews, you know?
Same. I guess that Ryan Murphy is done with his Netflix deal and is now going to be moving over to Disney, which I'm like, huh?
I'd be confused.
And that is the all I have to say about that.
I'm glad that you said that, because that's all I would say too. My last thing, speaking of Netflix, is Insecure might be available on Netflix soon, which would be interesting. Huh?
Did they take it off of the new Max app?
I don't know if it is going to be removed, but it seems like they can make money if they license HBO exclusive shows to other streaming services, you know, like sell them. Mm-hmm. But I'm not seeing in this AV Club article if it's that means that those things will be like removed from Max, because that would be stupid, because that is such a good rewatch. I mean, as I said last week, I have my own Netflix account now, so I would be able to watch it. But it just is like bizarre. But I don't know. I bet more people would watch Insecure that way.
Yeah, that's true. That is true. So I support it.
Yeah.
I fell for some clickbait, and I was hoping that you were going to bring up this news piece to confirm it, because I didn't want to read the article. But when you said your last piece of news was what it was, I hurried and quickly looked up the article so I could fact check myself. And I hate clickbait, because this post said, Emily in Paris season 4 is leaving Paris. And I was like, what? And now I'm reading this article, and it's basically like, they showed a clip at this like event in Brazil, and they head off to on a Roman holiday. I'm like, okay, so they go to Italy for a vacation, so that's one episode. They're not leaving Paris.
Oh, that is so dumb, because technically they go on little side trips all the time outside of Paris. They're just in other parts of France.
Yeah.
That is so stupid.
So anyway, don't fall for that. And now you know where they're going.
That would be interesting. Okay, well, they should do a season where Emily brings her French coworkers to America, and we're like, yes, they're the outsiders, and that would be really fun.
All right, is that the end?
Mm-hmm. That was truly my last one. I feel like the last few episodes I've been like, oh, actually I have like two more. Not today.
Not today. Okay, so most, I would say like 50% of the fun of The Bear season 2 is seeing everyone that was cast, plus more. There are lots of like secret-ish kind of cameos of people who show up that I had no idea about. Like, one person was spoiled for me, but there were so many people that I was shocked by and so excited by.
Mm-hmm. And like A-list people.
Yes.
That was wild.
So for our top three, we are saying shocking cameos. Okay, I'll go first.
Okay.
Dave on Hulu, they always have cameos of people, but they're usually almost always playing themselves. So this season, Rachel McAdams played like a pretty big part in like 2 episodes. And I was just like, I love to see her, because she'd kind of like given up acting until, like, she's been not acting at all recently, except for Are You There, God? It's Me, Margaret, which was like amazing and I loved it. So I loved seeing her in that, and then like having her show up in this really random Hulu show just like seemed not like her, which made me love her more.
Totally. That is really fun. I do miss her.
I know. She was really fun.
I also like seeing her be funny, and because she's in so many, she's so good at in dramas and stuff, but she's also very funny.
Mm-hmm.
So that is really cool.
Yeah, it was fun.
My number three, we were actually just talking about him, Jon Hamm on 30 Rock. Ugh. And it's a little different because he's actually in like a lot of episodes. So it's kind of different than like in The Bear, a lot of them are only in one episode or like one kind of scene each. But this one was shocking though, because most people had only ever seen him in Mad Men, And so then he's on 30 Rock and he is like so silly and weird and just like this goofy guy. And so like I watched 30 Rock before I watched Mad Men. So I had kind of the opposite experience almost where it's like, when's he going to be silly? Like, he's not going to be silly.
Never.
But like that would have been so shocking if like that was his breakout role. He wasn't known for anything else but Don Draper. And then he's just this like silliest dumb guy on 30 Rock. Like that would really be iconic. So love it.
I love that. And I'm glad you said that because love a chance to talk about John Hamm and his range. My number two is Donald Glover being in Girls. It'll never fail to shock me, even though I've watched Girls now probably like 3 full times. Every time it happens, I forget and I'm like, oh my gosh, Donald Glover.
That is such a good one. And he's such a weird character too. He's like so a Republican. that's such a good one. That also, there's so many from Girls specifically that you could do too.
There are specific shows that are just like so good at the cameo, and like 30 Rock mm-hmm. and Girls are so good at them.
Totally. And something about those two shows and The Bear are so good at like letting the cameos, like, it's not just because they could get a really amazing cameo. They really give them good stuff to do, too. Like, they really are acting these, like, really distinct characters, you know? Mm-hmm. And it just, like, it still blends in even though you're shocked that that actor is there. It's so fun.
Mm-hmm.
My number two, I said Jack Black on Community.
Ugh.
It's just so funny because he was really famous at that time, and then they act like he's been there the whole time and he's really, really weird. And something I think about all the time actually is Donald Glover and Abed are like discussing him and they're like, wow, he just like kicked so high for like his his girth and height. And it's like, that is just a true thing about Jack Black. It's like he like defies physics. And I just like think that is so funny and good. And it's just, Jack Black's just amazing.
Yeah, he also has range in a different way though too. Like range in motion.
Well, he really does. It's like you would never expect this chubby guy to be so light on his feet. Like mm-hmm. he's amazing.
Yeah, I love watching that guy do anything.
Mm-hmm. Just moving around.
My number one is, I think it's just because I'm on a Molly Shannon kick because I'm just like so obsessed with her in The Other Two, and I'll never stop talking about The Other Two. I'm so annoyed of my own self. But when Molly Shannon showed up in The White Lotus season 1, it was incredible, and I was just like, was so excited when she showed up and was the mother-in-law that no one wants to have. And mm-hmm. she's just so likable that I loved seeing her playing a really unlikable character.
Totally. She was like very against type.
Yeah.
That's such a good one because I forget about that cameo.
Yeah, it was so fun.
I totally forgot.
Lotus is so packed with people that it's just like mm-hmm. the list goes on and on. But
yeah, wow, that's such a good one. My number one, I said Charlize Theron on Arrested Development.
Ooh,
that it's like that. I feel like it's almost this. Like, it's similar to John Hamm, where it's like she just won an Oscar. Like she's pretty serious, and she literally plays a little kid on Arrested Development. Like, it's really, like, the last thing you would expect, even now, I feel like, Charlize Theron to do. It's amazing that they got her to just let loose and be so goofy and wear the weirdest outfits of all time. They've said, like, the network did not want her them to put her in these dorky hats, and so they kept like putting on bigger hats and like zooming in on like the flowers on her hats and stuff. It's just like so ridiculous, and because like they were going to be canceled anyway, so they didn't care. And it's just iconic. I think I said that already, but a good cameo is iconic.
It's just, yeah, is. Well, and she's so fun because, yeah, like you mentioned, like it was just like someone you would never expect. And like, but then she did that show The Long Shot, and that was like such a great rom-com. Mm-hmm. And then also, I mean, just her involvement in the Fast and Furious family is so intriguing and interesting to me as well. Also got range. That's the theme of the episode.
If there's a cameo of a really famous person and it's like not that good, that means they didn't have range.
Yeah, you know, it's so true.
Did you have any bonuses?
No, I didn't.
That's, I only had one, and it was Taylor Swift on New Girl.
You know, because I was looking up ones because I was like, I thought I could think of so many, and then I was kind of blanking. And then I saw that and I was like, oh, that reminds me. I talked about Prince on New Girl, which is when it reminded me of the fact that we did celebrity cameos already. Did she play herself?
No, she didn't.
Okay.
That I actually had that exact same journey in my brain.
That's so funny.
And that is what reminded me that I was like, this is different because these people didn't play themselves. And in The Bear, none of those famous people were playing. Like, Olivia Colman is not, hi, I'm Olivia Colman, and I'm going to be working in this restaurant. You know, like, they were all playing very new, distinct characters, you know? So I feel like it is very different. A celebrity cameo playing themselves is very different than bringing in a celebrity to, like, play some character that you wrote, you know?
Yeah. What were your overall feelings on this season two versus season one?
Well, I loved it, although it actually kind of took me a second to kind of get into it. I always like it because I love these characters, but I was kind of waiting for it to like really hit me, like I was seeing everyone else being so hit by it, and I was waiting for it to hit as much as the first season did. And then the Christmas episode really hit me. And then every episode after that really were getting to me, and I was just like in deep. So
okay,
I was surprised. Yeah, I was surprised it took me a second, but I got there and it was amazing.
You don't have to have an answer to this, but were you able to figure out kind of what it was that wasn't sticking for you at the beginning?
No, because I don't really know what I would go in and change, you know? Yeah. And I honestly, like, I haven't rewatched the first season. I wonder if maybe I just don't remember. I should re-listen to our episode on the first season of The Bear and see, like, maybe that's just how the show is, kind of. It's like, it's because I like the chaos of it. Like, that's kind of part of why it's so good. But I wonder if it's like, it's just then finding kind of those meanings in between. Because like, there's amazing episodes in the first half, like Marcus in Copenhagen is so beautiful. And so I think maybe it's like when I was latching onto those like character moments, that was when it was really found its way into my heart again.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I don't know. But were you like in it from the get-go?
I was in it from the get-go. And I remember the first season took me a second because I was like trying to figure out the vibe of the show. And so I think because I was more prepared, I was in it from the beginning. And I think I just like, I watched the show in less than 24 hours, which was, it was funny because I was, I had told Jordan like, oh, I really want to watch The Bear, but I'm going to Chicago this weekend. And I don't know, like, I will not have time to watch it. And then sure enough, the night it was released and the night before I left to Chicago, of all places, I watched like 3 episodes, stayed up way too late, and then downloaded the rest and basically finished it on the plane. And after a lot of travel mishaps, also had some time to watch it alone in a hotel room And so I got to finish it in Chicago, which was very special and so fun. And
it really is amazing.
Like, I was like bookmarking places because a lot of the restaurants that they show on the show are real. And sadly, I didn't go to any of them, but I have them bookmarked for anyone going in the future. And anyway, so I don't know if like the whole like that whole situation like increased my love of the show, but like I loved it. I was very into it. The chaos of it all does get to me a little bit, I will say, but mm-hmm. I feel like they're pretty good at balancing it. And like the second I'm about to be like, okay, I can't take this anymore, they like stop it and move on to something more calming.
That is really true. They like push you almost to your breaking point and then they give you like some peace.
Mm-hmm. My brilliant sister Carly compared the Christmas episode to Uncut Gems and I was like, that's exactly it.
Ooh. Wow, I love that. It really has Uncut Gems energy, the show in general.
Yeah.
That's a brilliant comparison.
I thought so too.
Wow. Episode over. That's too smart.
And this one's dedicated to Carly.
So genius. Yeah, thanks Carly.
We can't let it be over though because I want to talk spoilers.
Yes.
How did you feel about the Molly Gordon character?
I'm really excited to talk to you about this. Okay, I really like Molly Gordon. I don't think it's her fault that the character felt kind of weird. I didn't really feel their vibe together that much. And I sometimes was laughing at some of their conversations. I was like, no, what? This is too much. This is a ridiculous conversation. I think especially because like everyone else I felt like a really real person and she kind of had like manic pixie dream girl vibes, you know?
Yeah, that's true.
To me. As a Molly Gordon OG stan, how did you feel?
I felt like I was blinded by my love. Like, I really struggle with Molly Gordon because I'm like, do I want to marry her or do I want to be her? Like, I genuinely don't really know. And, like, she's just, like, so... Something about her just, like, is so magnetic. So I kind of felt maybe a little distracted by that. So like after I finished the show is when I started seeing some tweets of people who were like anti the Molly Gordon character, where to me, I was like, I feel like the writers had to make her pretty unhateable because or else people would have just been like blaming her or like really mad at her for, Carmi's wrongdoings. And so I felt like she had to be likable, but I also think that she was a little bit, there wasn't a ton of depth to her. Like I did kind of have a hard time believing that she was a doctor. I just like, the fact that she was wearing scrubs wasn't enough for me.
Hey, we had a whole montage of her helping a patient or whatever.
That is true.
That was weird. I actually agree with that. I think like, it just, like, everyone else, they needed to make her have more, like, distinct traits instead of being, like, she used to wear glasses and now she's hot. Was, like, the they only also, thing anyone ever said about that.
They also said she used to be chubby, which I really hated.
Hate that. And also, it was kind of confusing because the best thing I can compare it to is in the Harry Potter books, the character of Ginny Weasley is like really nerdy and has a crush on Harry, whatever, the whole way. And then suddenly in one of the later books, everyone around this character is like, oh, she's awesome. Oh, she does all this. Oh, she's so funny. They just like, everyone says all these things about her. And like, suddenly she's like the hottest girl ever. But like, show don't tell, you know? And I feel like all the characters around Molly Gordon were like, we love her. Oh, she's beautiful. She's nice and all this stuff. But it was like, we never really got to see anything about her showing any of that. And so that just like kind of rubbed me the wrong way too, that I was like, stop telling me that I need to be obsessed with this character. Like, how about we see her like being kind of more real? Like they kind of would talk like in like very, like almost overly romantic kind of conversations that didn't really
yeah
go anywhere. So again, I don't really think it's her fault. I think it's like they wasted all the amazing writing on all the other characters, and they are just like, here, you can say these silly words. Here's
a girl.
I think maybe it was a waste that they got Molly Gordon, and it was kind of a waste of character when they had her to work with, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. It'll be interesting to see if what they do next season with her.
Yeah, because we're in the spoiler safe zone, right?
Yeah.
Because mm-hmm. I was like, first of all, so she is so offended that she leaves him while he's in the freezer. But I was like, he was kind of like talking gibberish. So I was like, I don't think that it was really that bad. So I was like, everyone's just overreacting here. Like, huh? Like, how could she even really hear what he's saying? He's locked in a freezer, you know?
Yeah, exactly. I agree. This just in from my dad. He just texted me and said, episode 6 of The Bear, Family Dinner, is the most chaotic episode in history. Not sure I can finish it. That's so funny. But while we're on the topic of the Christmas episode, there's nothing better than Bob Odenkirk showing up as a random dad character.
Oh, yeah. The only thing better is Jamie Lee Curtis showing up as a random mom character.
Truly. And that was the one cameo that was spoiled for both of us, I think.
Yeah, that one was spoiled for me. But it was like, it was exciting that I knew it was coming, you know?
Yes.
So yeah, it was okay.
Yeah. And because there were so many more, like when yes. John Mulaney walks in, I was like, what?
Oh my gosh. How? He looked so young.
It was wild. I was like, did they film this like 15 years ago?
Seriously.
It was, and like make him look shorter. So, like he didn't look very tall. It was weird. Yeah,
maybe Sarah Paulson is just also like 10 feet tall or something, because they really did look like normal heights.
Yeah.
Also, they were next to what's his name? John Bernthal, who I think is also like a giant. So yeah. Maybe it's like, you three stay over there. You'll look like normal sized humans.
Whatever you do, do not get close to Jeremy Allen White.
Don't stand next to Carmi. It's giving Hobbit. But yeah, the moment in that episode actually that really, because here's the thing, I already loved Richie as a character even before, which my favorite episode of the season, which I don't think I'm alone. That's not like a unique take. I think a lot of people have the Richie episode as their favorite episode.
Yeah,
where
same.
He like finally gets it together and it's so satisfying. Not just because Taylor Swift is throughout the episode,
and
but it
big
doesn't hurt.
Role in his,
yes.
his transition?
Mm-hmm.
Transformation.
Transformation, yeah. Phoenix rising from the ashes moment. But in the Christmas episode, when he's like begging that uncle guy for a job and then gets caught in the lie, but the uncle like goes with it, I was like, I just like that just really just like hit me. It's just like Richie is just such, he's like the worst, but it's really just because he's just like so tender and broken. And it was just like, I don't know, there's just something about that moment that was honestly the turning point for me for the whole season. And I was like, I forgot that I'm like really emotionally invested in these characters as though they're real people, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I felt the same. Like, because his character is the most obnoxious to me.
For sure.
Because everything he did, I was just like, please stop. One of my only critique of the show is that, like, they have too many repeating lines. It's like the same, like, every person is like screaming their lines like five times over. And it's because no
That's
one's
so
listening
true.
To each other. And I understand that. But like it was irritating me, and he's one of the main people who does that.
Perpetrators.
Yeah. But yeah, his episode was so good, and I think it helps that it had a friend of the pod, Sarah Ramos, who slayed. Like, she did such a
Amazing.
Good job. I was like so excited for her and I loved their little interactions. I was like, wait a second, are they kind of like into each other?
I know.
Which, how do you feel about the Carmi and Sydney? How do you feel about them?
I mean, can't escape the discourse, you know? Here's the thing. Yeah. I am team Sydney and Marcus.
Same. That is where I'm at too.
Yeah. I mean, it's so hard when there's so many, the tweets are getting so tailored to me that now those thoughts are becoming my thoughts, which I hate.
I am my For You page.
Yeah. I saw someone say who was like, who's anti-Carmi Sid. Not that I think it would be the end of the world, but I think there's just so much realism in the show that would be very toxic if in real life these two would get together. Like, I feel like that would be bad for their goals, you know? But I saw someone that was like, I want them to have more of a Don Draper Peggy relationship, like mentor. Yes. And really, really talented mentee. And so, yeah, when I think of it like that, even when they have their heart to hearts and it's like pretty tender, it's just because they seem so close in age that it seems like maybe there's like sexual tension. But I don't really, that's not my first choice at all. Like, I don't mind him with Molly Gordon because I don't think he should date someone that he works with at the restaurant. It's like too intense. It's already too personal there with all the family members, mm-hmm, and all the history there. I don't really want him to also then date Sydney. I say that, but I want Sydney to date Marcus, and they also work together and it also caused tension. But Marcus is just so much like cuter and better than Carmi. I'm just like not into, yeah, Carmi like that personally.
I was actually going to talk about this too, is that I feel like when you're one of the only people that's like immune to Carmi.
Are you also immune, or do you think he's sexy?
No, I think he's sexy. I like something just like in the show. So he is weird looking, and I think that's why people are confused, because it's like, wait a second, on paper this guy should not be like, people should not be having the hots for this guy, but something about him in the show like changes everything I'm into. Like, literally nothing he is anything I like usually, but like,
well,
I don't know.
Okay, here's the thing. I think that if I did see a guy who looks like him walking around, I don't think he's ugly. I think I would be like, oh, that's a really interesting looking guy. And sometimes I think striking looking people are like, I'm more attracted. Like, I think that's attractive. I actually don't like his personality in the show, though. Like, when he was like freaking out in the freezer, I was like, no pun intended, but you need to chill out, because like, stop. And they're doing fine. And so, like, I feel like I think his character's really intriguing. Like, people who knew him as a kid seem to think he's like a kind of dorky, you know, like, mm-hmm, shy, awkward guy. But now, like, he's kind of like, oh, I'm this like bad boy chef kind of, like, it's kind of confusing. But like, I don't know. I'm like, I don't want to date Carmi's personality.
Okay. That's fine. There's less competition.
Yeah, yeah. I'm out of your way.
I just wanted to say, the Sid and Carmi of it all. I also, like, I think that they do a good job of, like, showcasing that, like, vulnerability in the workplace does not have to equal sexual tension.
Yes. Wow, that was so well said. Yeah, I think something that's great about The Bear is that the workplace of the restaurant, there's men and women, it's very diverse, but it's not, like, the men and women treat each other pretty much equally, and
yeah,
I like to see that. That's what I want every workplace to be like, where it's like, they don't treat Sid differently because she is a girl. She's just Sid, you know?
They still showcase people treating her differently, like when she's like interviewing people and they're like, I, yes, want to talk to the chef, and showcase that there are still issues with that even in that industry. But yeah, they've like created a working environment amongst the people that actually work there.
Mm-hmm.
So that, and they all respect Sid and each other. so much that, yeah, it's special.
Yeah.
I was irritated at the very end with the whole kitchen fridge situation, the walk-in, because first of all, when it broke the first time, when Sid broke the handle off, how did it get put back on, and that how are they still using it? Because why couldn't they just put it back on again to get him out? Second of all, he had his phone. He like was being a baby and like he didn't whip out that phone until he was stuck in there for at least an hour. And I was like, that would have been the first thing I did.
Mm-hmm. I didn't get that because I thought he kept saying, oh, I didn't have reception. I didn't have reception. But was he talking about earlier in the day, not in, in the fridge? But then he was listening to her voicemail. So suddenly you did get reception?
Yeah, or maybe you don't have to have reception for its voicemail. I don't know.
Yeah. Hmm. Yeah, I actually didn't like that it ended with that. I liked that it got the rest of the team, like, they got to shine. Especially Sid and Richie, who I always just think of as Desi. The actor is Desi to me. And Desi is playing Richie.
Well, and did you see a tweet that's like, I like to think of Richie as like the actual, it's Desi, but post Marnie and like post music career.
It makes sense.
It really does. It is pretty seamless.
Yeah, I actually didn't really love that ending. I was like, I feel like the episode should have ended when they bring out that special like chocolate banana for the uncle and he's like really like about to cry and he's so proud of Richie.
Mm-hmm.
And I would have been fine because I feel like it was like, I don't know. It kind of left a weird taste in my mouth, which I think they intentionally do on this show, but it was kind of weird. I didn't love the ending.
Okay. Interesting. Honestly, now that I'm thinking back to it, the ending didn't really leave me either way, which I think is a little telling. Mm. But yeah, I just thought it was really interesting season overall for Carmi, the like main character, who, because like really he took a backseat, literally and figuratively, I feel like.
Mm-hmm.
And so it'll be interesting to see what they do with the next season. I saw some article with some interview of someone from The Bear and they were basically saying like this season is kind of like the first season was all set up and now we can like we're getting into like what this could be, which I think is interesting and makes me excited.
Totally. I really want another season. So it's like it's not necessarily they obviously have to leave some like loose ends that they can tie up in a third season. So it's not that I'm not bothered that they didn't, that there's like conflict at the end. I just feel like the fridge of it all was kind of like a little ridiculous.
Yeah, not like super, super believable and
no,
felt a little I think out of place.
Especially, here's another thing I thought is that I almost felt like that made it be kind of like the biggest conflict in the finale. When so many other things that are really important happen, like their mom showing up and leaving was really emotional.
Ugh. Yeah.
And I loved that. And I just kind of wish that all those kinds of earlier moments got to be kind of bigger conflicts, because then the fridge is kind of like the last thing I remember, you know? And I kind of thought that was almost like comical. And there's so many other things that I wish had kept the focus instead.
Yeah, that makes sense. That just reminded me, shout out to Sugar. I was excited to see more of her this season, and I thought she did really good.
Yes, I totally agree. And that's, I remember one of my takes from the first season was that I didn't love her character, but in this season, I think what helped me love her even like much more was the Christmas episode and seeing her role in the family, like before Mikey died and with their mom and things like that. And so it helped me like understand the character better. And I loved having her around. It was fun.
Yeah, I liked it. Everyone, I loved that we got like little deeper dives into each of the characters. Like you said, the Marcus episode, which was directed by Rami Yosef.
So
fun. And yeah, overall, very little complaints.
I feel like the last, like in most like recency bias, the best show that we've watched recently is Succession. And so it was really fun to watch a show that is also very high quality, but leaves you feeling a little better than Succession does, you know?
Yeah.
Because, like, I just feel so, like, warmly for all these characters. And I do for Succession, too, but it's like we're watching them torture themselves and spiral out of control. And these ones, most of them are, like, getting better as the show goes on instead of getting worse. And so it just feels good.
Yeah, it truly does. And I'm honestly so sad that I ate it up so fast.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, who's your crush of the week?
I really have to give it to Richie. He just breaks my heart the most out of every single character. And I absolutely love seeing how good he was at this, especially like the first half of the season is basically him literally feeling like an outsider in every single part of his life, including at the restaurant, and just like he just screws everything up and is bugging everyone. And then finally finding that he actually rules at that, I don't even really know what that job is called at the restaurant, but like it was like the most satisfying thing I've ever seen. It was so moving and he was so good. I loved him.
Yeah, when he's like, I think I see the pattern. I was like, oh my gosh,
seriously. Oh, it was just like, and to do it to Love Story the whole time too. It's like, honestly, it would have been perfect without Love Story being the needle drop. But it was just like, I mean, the music in the whole show is perfection, and so the fact that, you know, they take the music so seriously on this show, and that they chose Love Story to be intertwined with his daughter and then him. It was just like so amazing.
And so Jillian, how do you say her name again?
Gillian Jacobs.
I get them swapped. Wearing the 1989 t-shirt.
I did not see that.
Yeah, what? She was wearing the 1989 t-shirt at the Christmas episode.
Oh my gosh. I had no clue. I have to go back and find that.
Yeah, you do. It's incredible.
I cannot believe I missed that. Ugh. Wow. Yeah, a fun fact about her, which she broke my heart in this too. It was really nice. It's like you were just saying, it was fun seeing more of these characters, because like Richie is so annoying and loud and an asshole to everybody, and so you just kind of imagine that like him and his ex-wife have a horrible, terrible relationship now, but like they actually don't. That was like really precious, like how like her telling him she's engaged but like they're nice to each other and she still said like they still love each other. Like that was really, really sweet.
Yeah, it really was.
But fun fact about her, I remember back on Vine days, she posted a Vine and she was like, hey mom, tell everyone why you pronounced my name Gillian. And she was like, well, that's how I thought you said it. But it's really like supposed to be Jillian, I guess.
Oh, that's really funny. Yeah, and really cute.
Yeah, so fun fact.
I mean, okay. Really set her up to be famous.
Yeah, truly. Okay, who's your crush? There actually are a lot of crushes to choose from.
There's so many. I have to give it up to Io Edebree, who plays Sid. I recently started following her on Letterboxd, and she's the best Letterboxd follow.
Yes.
And just everything she does, I'm obsessed with. And she is the glue to the show, and totally. She's the glue to the bear. She is the glue to a lot of our favorite people in the real world.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, she's good at drama. She's good at comedy. I believe she's good at cooking. I want to eat that omelet she made immediately.
I am so curious about their cooking skills after filming this. They look so professional.
Like, they really do.
Yeah. Oh, she is so amazing. I actually almost wish there were more Sid. I feel like there was a lot of Sid at the beginning, and then it was kind of less Sid in the middle.
Yeah, it's true. I wanted more. Until the very end.
Yeah.
But the scene of her talking with her dad at that diner was just like probably one of my favorite scenes.
It was so special. I did just watch the new Clone High episodes, and she's in that. Mm-hmm. And she can do it all. Like, she literally. It's really her world, and we're just living in it. It's just how
she's
it is.
She's another person who kind of is like a cameo girly.
Mm-hmm.
Like, she was in the most recent Black Mirror. She's in the new Spider-Man Across the Spider-Verse. She was in the new I Think You Should Leave season. Mm-hmm. Like, she's literally, she was in Abbott Elementary. Like, she's just, like, shows up in so many things. Like, she was in theater camp, which is interesting. And, but not in it for super long, but still, can't wait for that movie to come out.
Yeah, everyone will see that. It's so good. And yeah, like the Molly Gordon of it all. They're probably best friends.
Mm-hmm.
It seems like she's actually best friends with everyone. And that's why everyone wants her to be in all of their stuff, because they love her so much. Makes sense.
Makes a lot of sense. Work with people who are like that.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Well, there you have it. The Bear Season 2. Glad it lived up to the Season 1 hype. It's always scary. Similarly to Olivia Rodrigo releasing new music now. I'm like, I'm nervous for you, girl.
I know. I get scared every time something I like makes a new thing, though. It's like how I'm always even nervous for new Taylor Swift albums. It's like, could I possibly love it as much as the others? Yes, you probably will. That is so funny. Oh, final question. Which season do you think you liked better overall?
Season 2.
I think I did too. Even though I had my kind of weird start, I think I loved it more.
Yeah, I think I just, like, similar to what I said, I think I just, like, knew what I was getting into. And so I already had the base. And so just getting into, like, dig deeper was, like, exactly what I wanted and needed. Yeah.
So good. Highly
loved it.
Honestly, I feel like you might be able to start with season 2. Like, could you skip season 1? You learn so much. You get so much context in season 2. Because I was like,
that's true.
There's a lot I forget. You shouldn't do that, but I feel like season 2 was that good that you could.
You would miss the John Bernthal of it all, and like his backstory. I feel like,
yeah, you would, and you, like, would still have some money questions.
Yeah,
yeah, the money. But yeah, it was so good.
But yeah, you probably could, but don't. They're both good.
Yeah, I might cut that out so no one's tempted to follow my bad advice.
Hulu calls us. Why are you recommending that people skip season 1?
Yeah.
Also, LOL that they've listened to this full episode.
Oh, I forgot to announce in news that Claim to Fame is back. But
you did. Oh well. You made such a big deal about how you always had, like, wait a second, I have one more. And you actually did.
Oh, no. Watch Claim to Fame on ABC. I think. I don't even
know. Sponsored by the Jonas Brothers. All right. Well, thanks for listening, everyone. Bye.
Bye.